Okay, so we got Seattle Advocacy. They have cute little stickers. You can just pick up a sticker and put it on. They have a couple cute saying. Feeling as if the pizza delivery guy knows everything. Actually, these are pretty cute. This could be better than our lecture. Made me feel like a grape-flavored gorilla.
What?
Oh, just run with it. It's late. Not that late, but it's late.
True indica, beanbag, and bass music necessary.
My face.
So what's true sativa, then?
Now. My face felt blasted by waves of citrus, an almost sweet, berry-like, cool aroma, like if the ocean brought in a citrus grove.
I'm going to start using this for everything. Smooth and tasty. Made me relax like I was floating on kittens. I'm using that for everything I do.
I don't know about smoking and floating.
Best nighttime herb to bubble with the wine after right. A glass of with the wife after a glass of wine.
All right,
are we starting?
We're gonna start. Why not? What are we doing? This is this the police and medical marijuana? No.
No.
That's a different one. Changing times.
Wake him to vapid vapes.
Marijuana.
Did we get.
Are we out of medical marijuana, or are we in just general marijuana now?
I think they want general, but since I'm talking about Georgia, I'm still talking medical.
Why don't you do
the recreational marijuana, and I'll just do it for my migraines and glaucoma.
I'm sorry. I'm in the state of New York, California, and New Hampshire, and I'm sorry. I'm stuck with medical marijuana.
You don't have a Colorado office yet?
No. We're not going there.
Wow.
No, the guy that opened up the Colorado office, he and I are almost ready to kill each other.
Lovely, yeah. Lovely. Yeah. Well, I'm Andrew Greenberg. I used to be on the board of Georgia Normal before we merged it with Peachtree Normal, which is an excellent activist organization. Who here is from Georgia? Excellent. If you're not already involved with Peachtree Normal, the first Tuesday of every month at Manuel's Tavern. Also, you can find them peachtreenormal.org and Peachtree Normal on Facebook and pretty much everywhere else. There's another great group in the state that is represented up front here. That's Georgia CARE. Remind me what CARE stands for. I'm sorry. It's not just a word. Right. And so I've been working on this a long time in this state, and we've had some successes of late. I'm going to talk about that and where we see it going from here, where we'd like to see it, and what the chances are down the line. To my right is...
Oh, right.
Somebody who's really stoned.
Oh, it's been a long day. Hi, I'm Peter Friedman. Pretty much we're an author and publisher in regards to tax laws and marijuana. I know, we're all excited about tax laws, aren't we? Yeah. What I'm going to be is I'm going to round out. He'll be handling Georgia, the big state. I'll be handling the rest of the United States, all the other states. We'll be talking about reciprocity. We'll be talking about the new trends that are happening at the state level. Better? No, that's worse. Boy, I love you. Snuggle, baby. Okay, so we're going to be talking about state reciprocity, state changes. I doubt if anyone's here from Hawaii, but Hawaii, after 15 years, has finally declared that they are going to allow a medical dispensary to be opened. Before, it only was caregivers. So they've actually come to allowing a dispensary. Unfortunately, they haven't passed any of the rules how to open the dispensary, but it's a slow process in Hawaii.
Yeah, considering how many people in Hawaii have the plants in their backyard and not hiding it.
Well, you are allowed to grow it there. You're allowed to grow three plants.
Well, you mainly hide it from your neighbors.
Well, because they're basically, they're brown thumbed, and their plants die and your plants live. Of course you become visitors. Come on.
It is amazing how much there is now growing in Hawaii.
Yes.
But where do you want to start? Shall we start with the big picture or with the Georgia picture?
Let's start. I mean, there are a lot of Georgia people here. Let's talk
there
about Georgia.
There are indeed a lot of Georgians here. So in Georgia, we did pass our second medical marijuana bill just recently. Yes, that is our second one. The first one's been on the books since 1980.
Georgia, if, for those who don't know this, actually one of the first states in the country to allow medical marijuana. Trouble is, it had to be provided by the federal government to the state government to the patient, which means it essentially almost never got implemented. But we've actually had it, and it is still on the books since 1980. Now, in the last session, Alan Peake, who's become a pretty powerful representative in our state legislature, introduced a THC oil bill with low percentage for it, which passed, and I believe it's 7 ailments that it treats. I think it's 7, and I'm not going to say off the top of my head what they are. It's ALS and the like. Pardon?
Pediatric seizures.
Then there are a few others. We got a few, and not nearly as many as everyone was hoping would get. And the trouble is, there is no way to legally acquire it. Once again, it's not like the federal government has to provide it. There's just no mechanism for getting the oil to patients. You can get recommended by your doctor who's treating you for whatever, for this ailment, for one of these 7 ailments. They can give you a recommendation for it, and you can then get on the state list. And it's basically a get out of jail free card if you have the oil in your possession once you're here. Getting it's still the issue. So you're breaking federal law if you're having it sent to you, mailed to you, or you're breaking state laws driving it back from states where it's legal. So it's a continuing issue. There is the Georgia Commission for Medical Cannabis, which is a state commission set up by the governor's office and the legislature that's been holding hearings on how we're going to change this. The last hearing was in August, just a week ago. I was not there. I had a number of friends who did testify there. And it's very interesting because now the first series of hearings from the commission really focused on the medical practitioners, and now it's very interesting. It's focusing on the people who are looking to set up the growing and the processing and dispensing of the oil. And we now have a number of pretty deep-pocketed groups who are interested in making this available within the state. There's one of the people who spoke runs a decently sized investment group called Sutera that is looking to make the medicine available. And there are a number of others from different groups. So it's really interesting seeing how the commission hearings are changing from, is this stuff actually medicine, to, okay, we know it's medicine, how do we actually get it into people's hands without them ending up in jail as well? There have been some other law bills proposed to expand it. Those haven't gotten anywhere. We'd hope that Peake might step forward on this again. Trouble is, the guy who introduced the bill, the main guy, has now been caught up in the Ashley Madison mess. Oh, yeah. Are you guys doing an Ashley Madison panel
Oh, man.
I'm really embarrassed to say I never heard of the site until the guy hacked. I'm really embarrassed.
I'm very jealous.
So as other people are using my name on there. Anyway.
Yes. So
we are going to be kind of lucky to get anything going in the next session. Georgia, for those of you who don't know, has a 2-year legislative cycle. So we basically just had the first year of a 2-year cycle. 2016 will be the second year of the 2-year cycle. Then we go to 2017, 2018. Chance we'll get something issued 2017, 2018. More likely 2019, 2020 session. The big reason is that, much to everyone's surprise, our governor kind of put the screws to Deal's plan to Peake's plan to kind of expand the whole process and really limited the scope of what he was going to sign into law, which really came as a surprise to a lot of us because he hadn't been that vocally in opposition to it. And so I think he was a little bit surprised how fast it was moving forward. There are some studies going on, so there is some marijuana coming in legally into the state for some academic studies on the subject. So it'll be interesting to see how that expands out and if the people who provide the cannabis for those studies end up providing it on a commercial or medicinal level as well. So that's essentially the state of the law right now. We do have some hopes, small hopes for the next few sessions, bigger hopes going down the line once the next governor comes in a couple of years. Want to talk more nationally?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I got to interrupt you because we're talking. If you do have questions, just pipe up or comments. We do these as interactively as we can. And he'll hit you with that thing.
He'll throw you with the bean book.
So, yeah, he'll
she
do
has
that.
A question
and
for
while
you.
We're waiting, and when people have questions, I'll read one of these while he goes to her with the
oh,
with
wait.
The box.
Why does he always get the fun?
I do. She actually wants to ask a question. Take the voice box back. And while he's doing that, do you have a hand up back there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I never watched a movie so hard until I hit this stuff. True story.
Okay, this isn't quite a question, but I've read an article recently that that George is trying to do like local cultivation.
That's definitely what some of the people involved in this would like to see. The state has not presented there is no bill like that before the legislature right now. That has definitely been one of the things that's been proposed. I don't expect that to go particularly far. There are some moneyed groups who want to be the ones who provide it, and initially we're not. I find it very unlikely we'll have more than a few handfuls of licenses for cultivation, at least initially.
I'm curious, you said that Hawaii, you're able to grow it out in the open. Is that legal, or is it just kind of culturally they don't really care? And are there any other states that are similar to that?
Hawaii basically has on the books a law that says pretty much anyone can grow 7 plants and be a caregiver or a voluntary car. There are similar statutes on books of other states, but Hawaii seems to be the more lenient. If you grow 7 plants, the cops come in, they count 4, 5, 6, 7, they just leave you alone, you know? So, and I think it's also a cultural issue too, but culturally we could discuss a lot of things, but I think from a state perspective, Hawaii is a very progressive state. The DEA is not active at all in that state.
On cannabis.
On cannabis. I'm sorry. Did our panel just change?
It's really unique in that way.
No, Alaska had it, and that got knocked down. And isn't Alaska going back to allowing private cultivation?
Alaska has basically you can have 6 plants,
and then one judge found against it, and so it was on the books for a while, and now it's going back into effect, right?
Right, now it's going back into effect. I mean, Alaska is a
another unique state.
But it's a nice state. I mean, the biggest issue that's happening is that even though the states are saying each state will set its own rules, they're getting more and more towards a national registration bank. And as people are being almost going to be close to mandatory, and the reason why is because, let me finish, and then you can do it, is that if you go into another state with an ID card, even though a lot of the states won't let you buy, it's a get out of jail card. So if you get caught within that state's, not your state's, but that state's legal limits. So in other words, if, as happened about a year and a half ago, guy goes up to, from California to Oregon, has about 2.5 pounds, and under his medical marijuana card, it said he was allowed because that's what he needed, and he got arrested, and they basically said he was dealing, and he waved his California card, and they said no. Yes, we accept your card, but our law says you can't have 2.5 pounds. You can have 2.5 ounces, so you're exceeding our state limit. It went all the way up to that state Supreme Court, and it stated that we recognize the state card, but you have to recognize we have our state laws. You're in violation of, you're a dealer. Yes?
Is that
no, just take the mic.
I had a question.
I'm sorry.
You mentioned studies that were being done. Is there a
who they are or a clearinghouse for where the actual science is located so you can get access to it?
Right. So the Georgia Regents are officially doing it. I believe it is primarily UGA, and I've been told there's some involvement of the medical college, but I haven't gotten that on an official basis. So that's what the status is of these studies, I don't know.
Well, are you just talking about the state studies?
Oh, yeah.
In general, is there a place to go? Where's the science?
Oh, goodness.
Oh, God, no. There's federal studies right now.
Great studies.
Nationally, then. That's a better way to say it.
Yes.
There's science somewhere, right?
The Department of Health, U.S. Department of Health, has basically, once again, become one of the major legal purchasers. They have about 35 studies right now going on.
I mean, it's a significant amount of weed that's being grown for these right now.
I mean, it was kind of funny. They did a request for proposal on to the growers of, hi, how are you, and what will you sell per pound per level to the federal government so we can start doing testing and studies again.
Yeah, we talk about how big Colorado is for buying weed. Right now, the single biggest purchaser of legal weed is the federal government.
Of course, yes.
Well, I mean, I guess, let me rephrase it. Is there a place that clears all science? Like, we reference these different locations, or do you have to go to each health department in the state?
You want a good, like, a clearing journal house. Or something that. Normal has a number of good studies up. I like that. Wow, I really need a drink before I got here.
NAPS
is another group. Not NPC. There's another group that has a lot of the really good studies up there. I wish there was a really good, legitimate academic journal that focused on cannabis, and there's a number of places that'll publish this stuff. But
there is. About 4 years ago, we had a guy from, I think it was Iowa. He was part of the Iowa Pharmacy Organization. He basically was telling that they did a total, their pharmaceutical organization did a study, and they posted it, and it was the basis for that law.
Yeah, but there's no one journal, is what I'm saying. There's no good academic journal on cannabis research.
Just journal,
that's
no.
That's what I'd like to see.
You would have to go to a journal, and basically there will probably, at times, be articles on cannabis.
Right.
Or studies on cannabis.
Yeah, and this is one of the issues. I mean, you're right. Having a good curated source for valid science, pro and con, would be incredibly valuable. I mean, many of the folks who on the reform side don't find much value in the anti-studies, and there's often a lot of holes in the anti-studies. There can be holes in the pro-studies. So really, one good, curated, watched-over journal would make at this stage, could make a significant impact on the fight.
Yes.
So with regard to the reciprocity issue between states that have medical or don't, and bringing your card across state lines, is that based on full faith and credit, or?
Based on statute.
State statute.
State.
Right. State. Somebody got me last year on that question, and I didn't know it. I got it now. Give me a state, I'll tell you.
And this is something we try to do in Georgia as well. If you had a valid medical card from another state, it would act again as a get-out-of-jail-free card. But that went nowhere.
A lot of states have non-defined terms. So they say, one state, it's really great, says, you can buy 30 days of usage, and we'll tell you later what we consider usage. So who knows what it will be.
Right.
Right. So if you walk in with your card and your card says X,
cannabis. We're talking about cannabis. Stop going to other drugs.
Right. Get him a drink. Please, I'm begging you. He's not quieter. Never mind. So every state, if you walk in, you have your card, figure out what that state allows before you walk in.
So you said you can do this for every state. So how about Michigan? Do you know what's going on there? I know they had
Michigan's
like this thing where
decrimmed. Is it medical?
So they had medical in two plants, apparently. But then, like, a lot of the police wouldn't enforce, or they were
they decided they didn't want to let people have it or something, and so there was a lot of issues, I heard.
Yeah, but in most parts of Michigan, it's been decrimmed to the point where unless you're serious quantity, you're getting a ticket.
Okay. Well,
I think. I'll let you.
Well, first of all, Michigan demands that you register. All right, so you have to register. If you're not registered in Michigan, you're in violation of the statute. Therefore, you're in violation of the law. Okay, so that's issue one. And Michigan basically is cute. It has 2.5 ounces usable, 12 plants.
Wow. And is that for medical? That's for medical?
That's medical. Okay. And they, by the way, when they say recreational and medical in Michigan, and even in Colorado, what they did was they took the medical marijuana statute that either was on the books or was going to be on the book, and they said, and recreational, but by the way, you got to follow these rules.
What's the point of getting a license?
Hmm?
What's the point, you said?
Plants.
It's you know, I've been traveling to too many states between New York, New Hampshire, California. The accent is just for crap. You know, what can I tell you? Yes, sir.
Hi. By the way, I'm the doctor who was from Iowa for
right,
those
on a
panel 4 years ago. And Iowa has the same thing that Georgia has, that they made it legal to use it on a neurologist recommendation, but there's no way to get it into the state. So,
that's a common issue.
Right.
That's
my question is actually about the federal government buying it for studies. I had heard that the federal government was buying marijuana that was still in a 1968 standard. You know, in other words, it's
low THC.
It's a low potency compared to what's there today. Do you have other information that they're actually buying the high potency?
Their request for a proposal that was listed last year was not for low potency.
And my understanding is they've been going for various potencies.
Right. They're pretty much all over the board. I mean, one of the humors, you're going to hear this issue. Hi, we passed the statute. Hi, we can do this. And hi, we can't get the seeds. If the seeds are in the state, they're cool. But you can't bring the seeds into the state. You can't bring the oil into the state. You can't bring the plants into the state. So how do you get it? You know, and if it's already in the state, well, that's basically illegal. And that basically is in violation of the law. It's, you know, we're doing progress. We're making progress. But there's a lot of humor involved.
More questions?
No questions.
All right, Peter, you want to do a big federal look? Talk about everything at once?
Oh, everything at once. Okay. No problem. Pretty much, we have a couple more states that joined the crowd. Minnesota passed their statute 2014. Maryland finally passed the 30-day supply. Amount to be determined. I'm sorry. By the way, New York also passed a 30-day supply of non-smokable marijuana. So my question was, because I met the guy, I said, and what is non-smokable marijuana? And he said, oh, one of our consultants told us that's the correct industry term. What industry? Yeah, I'm seeing a
damn big pot.
Yeah. There you go. So, from New Jersey settled its lawsuit 2 years ago. I don't know. In 2010, Jersey passed a law that would allow medical marijuana dispensaries to be open. In 2013, New Jersey got sued. You know, Mr. Christie. We've all seen him on the, you know, he's such a lovely man. He got sued because even though there was two parts of the law. One was that you could only distribute it through a university or a hospital. The federal government came in and said, if you distribute through a university and hospital, just realize you're in violation of federal statute, so you will not get any federal funding. Christie came back and said, we, the state, have passed the law. You figure out how to fund it yourself. So let's see. I got guaranteed federal funding on one hand, and I got something on the other. I don't understand why, you know, they didn't all jump in and become medical dispensaries. nobody opened up. 13, they got sued. The courts won that said that the law is absurd. You can now open up a dispensary, not in a hospital, not in a university, but they haven't passed legislation yet to define the new rules of how you can open one up again. So it's kind of like Jersey waves the flag, yes, we are, but until they pass the laws. And that's becoming common. Andrew made a comment about doctors and how they can only give you a recommendation. That's national. That's a national issue. That's not just a Georgia state issue. The reason is that a recommendation is not a prescription. And if they're caught prescribing drugs, they basically get arrested and lose their doctor's license because they're basically considered drug dealers under federal statute. So the DEA is starting to get active again. They've pulled a bit out of California, which was kind of nice. They've moved a bit into Oregon, Colorado. New York hasn't gotten hit yet. There will be some interesting test cases out of Colorado pretty soon. That's the expectation, just because that's where the DEA activity is starting to be. It's kind of like as a state promotes itself, the DEA walks in there to try and close them down. He's got to get you the boon box.
And while he's doing that,
you got another one? Wait one second. Best nighttime herb to bubble with the wife after a glass of wine.
This is me.
Vape it, baby.
Vape it. Okay, never mind.
The issue is the banking issue for the medical dispensaries or the recreational dispensaries in the states that have them. Is that any close to being resolved? Is it still an issue that they can't deposit the money into a bank?
No, that's not true. They can't deposit money into a federally chartered bank.
And there's been talk about making their own banks.
They can do it, and have always been able to do it, in a state chartered bank. But a federal chartered bank, they cannot. So theoretically speaking, you're not going to put it into Citibank. You're not going to put it into Chase. You're not going into Wells Fargo. You're not going into Bank of
They all make too
America.
Much money off Coke anyway.
Yeah, which is legal. You can go to any state chartered bank and they will accept the money. They can't refuse it because the state law says you're allowed to have medical marijuana or in certain states, recreational marijuana. You just sit there and you tell them and they have to accept it. And they do. It's a thriving business in regards to state run banks.
There aren't a lot of banks, so they're state chartered, not federally chartered. So.
I respect, but remember, we talk banks, but they were also talking credit unions.
Right.
Okay, there are a lot more state credit unions. They can take the money. So when you're talking banks, I've expanded to any financial institution that can accept money and disperse money.
Now,
legally.
The banking regulations and the issues around the federal prosecutions are another one of the arguments legislators here who oppose changing the drug war policies use. They say, look, it doesn't matter what we do here as long as the federal government is acting like it does, so we're not going to move on anything. And nobody considers it a valid argument, but it's one of the many that gets thrown up and legislators can use as just, well, I don't hate these crippled kids, I just don't want the federal government in here. So it's another one they can pull out of their pocket to block things.
Yeah, but on the other side, I would like the federal government to be here because basically they're going to spend money. They're going to spend a lot of money.
You're not a Georgia legislator saying you want the federal government to be here. We're not Texas. Okay. We don't think we're being invaded. But
notice all my offices are up north. We're the Yankee in this group. Yes.
So you're talking about the cards that they can pull to not accept your money. A couple of years ago when the California thing first happened, people were in here talking about how they were the the drug enforcers were coming in and breaking down all these dispensaries that were supposedly, you know, up by law, and then I heard shortly after that what they were doing is they were going after the landlords, and they were saying, we know there's a drug operation going on in your property. It might be legal, but we're going to go after you, and we're going to seize your property as allowing us to run. And I'm wondering if you guys have heard about that happening still, or if it's...
That is the technique you're talking about in regards to the landlords, that is now the favored DEA technique of basically going in and saying, you have a drug dealer in the building. You are therefore, you have 30 days to either to get them out or you're going to lose your property. That's been challenged in court. It's still hanging up in court. The problem that what is happening is that some of the more successful dispensaries have bought their own buildings. So they're pretty much sitting there. And then what they've done is, in California, we developed the trick. We put the buildings in nonprofit. So the building is now in a nonprofit entity, and the DEA is very
loath.
Loath would be polite, to go after a nonprofit. To sit there. We have not been able as of yet to get a dispensary listed as a nonprofit entity by the IRS. We've gotten close twice. I think it's getting very interesting. I believe that the first dispensary, just becoming a IRS recognized nonprofit institution is going to make the DEA go nuts.
And they can act as a nonprofit even without the official designation until they get an official rejection.
Well, they can act for 2 years, but they have to have their application in.
Right.
But that, the issue with that is, the issue with that is you want them to be approved. And I've gone to D.C. and each one of them literally has said that it will go up to the commissioner. The issue is not the dispensary itself. It meets all the standards to be a nonprofit. It is a more of a political issue, not a statute issue. Yes?
I thought there was an exception for something like $4,500 a year or something that where you could act as a nonprofit and not actually have to apply.
No.
Okay.
No, you have to be. There's
I mean, I, the nonprofit rules in general, not IRS for taxes.
That's for filing a 990.
Okay.
Right. You can go down to a 990 and a 990T. Which
you
are
don't have
smaller
to file
forms.
You don't know, have to file a 990 at all under 4500.
Yes, you do. You have to file it because if you don't file with it, you don't have to do a 990. You have to do what they call the postcard,
the
990N.
And
the reason why, if you don't file with three, if you get a, first of all, to file it, you have to be approved. Second of all, if you don't file it within three years, they automatically rescind your nonprofit.
Yep.
Was you could operate without approval under 4500 a year?
No.
Okay.
You can operate without approval at any level.
Well, that's true. You
eventually
could go up to a couple mil and not be approved, but...
But after 2 years, if you're not approved, you're in trouble.
Well, no. If you're not approved and you match
you got to pay some taxes.
You're
going to have a big bill.
The law that you're mentioning does not exist.
Okay.
Fair enough. It could be a state law, but it is not a federal law. And the problem is that if it's not a federal law, then you're in violation of federal statute.
Okay. And this has been an ongoing discussion within the reform community, not just in Georgia but elsewhere. Do we want things to structure as a nonprofit or as a for-profit? Structuring as a nonprofit makes it look better and gives some protection. Structuring as for-profits means a lot more money is going to come into the fight, which is what we're starting to see. So. There's been some discussion on legislation about only allowing nonprofit entities to come in. That's gone nowhere because the folks who want this, there is some money.
Right, but we're going to get everybody get ready for a nap. Get ready to go to sleep for at least 2 seconds. I'll try and make it short. The issue of nonprofit, from a layman's perspective, is not what it is to a tax person or a lawyer. A nonprofit is a partnership. Any entity that is a pass-through that does not pay income tax is a nonprofit entity. So when people say, we want a nonprofit, they usually talk about charities. There are other entities, and we've proven it by statute, and we've gone against them, that I can have a partnership, and it is a nonprofit, and it meets statute, state statute.
It doesn't mean it's a form C3, it can be a C6, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Yes.
One other quick question. What about legal defense resources? Are there organizations or law firms that specialize in this?
Yeah, there are a lot of firms that specialize in it. If you want to go, if you're in Georgia, Peachtree Normal lists a number of good ones. If you want to look on a federal level, there are a number of defense lawyers who advertise on the Normal site as well.
But remember, you're defending yourself at a state level. So if you're going to take a look for an attorney, go to Norm for that state.
Yeah.
You know, not since we're in Georgia. If you got a Colorado problem, do not hire an attorney out of Georgia. Why? Because he's got to defend himself in Colorado state and know the Colorado statutes.
I think Bell posts a couple on the website. Yeah, Georgia Care also has a handful listed on their website if you're looking for Georgia attorneys. And we've got some really good ones working on defense issues in this state, thankfully.
In Georgia.
I was just going to make a comment about the status of nonprofits. I believe other places that can be nonprofits that can sometimes make a lot of money are hospitals. Mm-hmm. You know, they can have huge budgets, but can also be listed as nonprofits, I believe. But I don't know if all of them can be.
Most hospitals, well, there are a couple. There are some hospitals that are privately owned. They're usually not. State hospitals obviously are. The issue isn't profit. I never understood that with a nonprofit, because people say, I'm a nonprofit, I can't make money. Why? Boy Scouts of America, nonprofit. Do you know how much the head of the Boy Scouts of America makes? You know, it's like, yes, you're a nonprofit, but that doesn't limit you in regards to compensation. You know, you just have to declare, hi. You know, the limit is, once you make over $100,000, you have to put it on a form. You pay your taxes. That's it. So being a charitable nonprofit, I don't really see the issue. It's all money. And you're going to pull it out.
In general, I feel like I'm missing something. Why are they afraid to go after a nonprofit? Like, if you say, like, the first time, what's the big thing?
No, here's a perfect example. If you think nonprofit, you think charity, the first thing you think about is church.
So it's all about that, like,
it's
niche.
It's that niche. Okay. The niche is called nonprofit. You go after one. It's like, everybody probably has this. Like, you know this family, and you're friends with one of the brothers, and there's four siblings, and they fight like you wouldn't believe. But God forbid you take the side of one of them and all four turn on you and they become like vultures. Okay? This is the nonprofit community. They fight internally beyond belief. But as soon as you go after one of them, it's like a united front. The churches will get in there, the synagogues, the hospitals will get in there. Anybody that's a nonprofit will go and defend, because they're scared that if the government can take away your nonprofit status, next is ours.
It's where you'll see Jerry Falwell and the ACLU coming in on the same side on arguments.
I think we should also be afraid if they come after people that like profit companies. I mean, Falwell and the ACLU
coming on the same side. Yeah, they go after for-profit companies all the time, because all the other for-profit companies figure they're just going and take the what's left over.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting. I get a magazine called Nonprofit Times, and it is hilarious seeing someone from Liberty Baptist College right next to someone from the ACLU saying the exact same thing about the same issue. I mean, they'll fight tooth and nail on some issues, but as soon as it comes to how they're regulated,
there it's a united front. Yes.
So with all the studies that have been done, the practically infinite empirical evidence that we have that pot's not this horrible danger, why are there still so many people that are just, especially politicians, that are so against this?
Well, first of all, there are a lot of studies that, that basically support marijuana. There are also a lot of studies that do not support. Okay, you get studies on both sides of the street. It depends on their scope and how they're done, obviously. What you're going to see, though, I think, is as the states continue to struggle economically, they're going to start seeing that sales tax on marijuana sales is going to be a driving economic force for them. This is also, understand, there is a reason, like in the state of Georgia, where they're against medical marijuana or any marijuana, is because any money that is confiscated in a drug bust, approximately 80% goes to the state, based on state statute. 20 goes to the feds, 80 goes to the state. So if you have $100 million grabbed, $80 million just went to the police department, which means that that's $80 million that they don't have to create taxes for. They've had a secondary funding. Fed gets $20 million, but who knows what they do.
So mostly it's not about what's right or wrong, it's just about money.
It's not even that. On a legislative level, there is more inertia than you'd believe. I mean, folks can come into office saying, I'm going to make big change. Once they're in, change is risky. Change can get you voted out. So even if they feel that they're in favor of it, they're not going to be out front, because if one's out front, get burned. And Peak actually advanced his career by proposing the policies, but he had to do a real scaled version of it. Other legislators aren't seeing that. There's just a lot of reticence to moving forward. There are some very strong groups that do oppose it, and I'm actually surprised. In Georgia, I had a long time suspected we'd have issues with the prison industrial complex. We've got a lot of private prisons here. They have not been a major player on this issue. I'm sure that they're saying they oppose it, but they're not putting their main lobbyists to work on the floor trying to get it stopped. On the other hand, groups like the Municipal Association, the lobbying group that represents all the cities in Georgia, has been a major player against reform. It's the municipalities feel they're going to lose revenue. More importantly, the people who fund a lot of the politicians, bail bondsmen, driving schools, and so on, who give a lot to campaigns and a lot under the table as well to politicians, feel they have a lot to lose from the laws being changed. So it's very strange where the main opposition is coming from. And Peak did a great job of bringing the kids out and saying, if you're against my bill, you hate children. You hate sick children, even more importantly. And managed to get that down to a whispering campaign, as opposed to the more up and in your face, drugs are bad, okay? Argument that we usually get. It's multi-layered, and to ever say it's just one thing is really weakens attempts at reform, because you're missing a whole lot of the picture. So it is an ongoing campaign. It's a long, you got to play the long game in this case, and there'll be ups and downs on it. And as much as I personally don't like how the cannabinoid oil bill was crafted, it is a step in the right direction for Georgia. And it took me a while to kind of say, man, we could have so much better. And except it is a step in a long, long process.
And one of the things, I mean, you know, I've been doing this for how many years now? Marijuana? What, like, let's see, we started it, so this is like the seventh or eighth year. And we started with only 10 states, and now we got 23. Now, are all the legislative effective in the 23?
No.
But you know what? I had 10 that were kind of effective. Now I got 23 statutes on the book.
And a couple that are effective.
that you can actually work with. And at a point in time, there will be a tipping point where the federal government is going to have to do something. Because right now, we're almost 50%. But if you take a look at population, we're greater than 50%.
And for the South, you're going to see a big shift in attitude when Florida finally goes. So Florida, in its last election cycle, had a legalization referendum on the ballot that had a majority but didn't get the 60% that it needed to pass, and came very close, and it took a whole bunch
those little hanging things.
Yeah,
again?
The Chads. Yeah, well, the no, this Chad. Time it was straight up Adelson.
Oh, okay.
Crick.
50 majority or 50%.
Yeah, 58. It was very close. Adelson, the the guy who funds like Newt Gingrich and owns a whole bunch of big casinos dropped millions into the campaign against it in order to stop it, kind of afraid that people will start buying marijuana instead of being addicted to gambling and his booze. So,
yeah, well, first off, in all the big social change things, like what just happened in the Supreme Court with gay marriage, it seems to be about 33 to 38 states when they do it in that number of states. That's when social changes end up going to the federal government. But I want to kind of put a term on what Andrew was talking about a minute ago, and that's the prison industrial complex. You know, they're the ones in Iowa that really are fighting the law, and what I hear from other normal chapters around the country, they're the ones, because the estimate is that that the courts, the bail bondsmen, like you said, the prisons, the police are going to lose a third of their business and a third of their funding and a third of the jobs.
And we've seen five prisons in Colorado get shut down, so that's a lot of people already pissed off about that. How dare you not lock everyone up and keep everyone in business for that. But in Georgia, I'm really amazed that they have not been the vocal leaders, and I'm sure they're behind the scenes, but they have not been vocally active on it.
Wait, sure. No, you gotta have a little thingamajiggy.
The pharmaceutical industry is behind a lot of the negativity. Of course, they don't want to lose their funding or the funding that they're giving to the medical profession, the journals, the organizations. I mean, the pharmaceutical industry is evil as far as I'm concerned.
And we do know that we're seeing some opposition also from alcohol, but it's interesting because I've also heard from some alcohol distributors who want to move into other areas. Because one thing we have in Georgia is we have a multi-tier system on how alcohol is distributed, and that's being presented as a model for how cannabis can be done as well. And as soon as the alcohol distributors, a very powerful lobby in this state, by the way, they've got monopolies on what they distribute. When they see that, it really is an interesting kind of change in their attitude.
Seagram's has put in the last 3 years, a fortune in designing and planning production facilities and sales plans for medical marijuana. I've heard that they put in over $10 million in pre-planning how they're going to get into the, not medical marijuana, just recreational marijuana, how they're going to get into this. They already have the air campaigns worked out, and they're all ready to jump.
And I'm kind of surprised because the tobacco farming lobbyists are not opposed to it at all. So,
are there any left?
You're in the South, boy.
I keep forgetting.
A couple times you mentioned that there's other side. There's another side of this. So there's other studies that you say that have negatives. Can we talk about that at all? Like, what is the opposition science-wise, study-wise?
There are still people who push addiction as an issue, amazingly enough.
Well, you have the addiction problem. You have also that there are people that say that there are studies that say that it does not remove or reduce pain.
Okay.
There are studies that say that actually support the concept of this is the first drug, and once you start taking this, it leads to addiction. I mean, there are studies like this. All right. It's kind of like, we're kind of like in the chorus, if you know what I mean. It's like, here, everybody...
Preaching to the choir.
Hi, those studies are bogus. Of course, in this group. I could go to a different group that basically is anti-marijuana and say, you know, those studies that say addiction and the doorway to drugs, those are the correct studies and all the other... And they'll agree the same way. It's a polarizing issue. All right? There is no... There's no maybe yes, maybe no. It literally is, I'm either going to be in favor of it or I'm not.
That's why I'm pushing the mention of the curated journal. We need a real medical scientific journal that addresses cannabis.
Yes, sir.
So in Washington last week, they came out with results having legalized recreational marijuana about the effect on the sales of alcohol and found that it in fact went up since the time that they brought it. And since the information in the study came out, it seems pretty clear that all of the private associations related to the sale of alcohol have decided that they're totally in favor of it. I mean, they just, you know, the study probably is not necessarily very in-depth or too big. It's one state. It's a limited amount of time, but...
The state, you know, it's kind of like a state that's already passed the law, you know, so they're not going to sit, the recreation, the alcohol industry in that state is not going to sit there and say, oh, by the way, you're destroying our industry because they already lost the vote. And it's easier to jump on the bandwagon, and probably you're going to see, I would say, some favorable legislation to the alcohol industry in that state soon.
We already have, as of the end of this year, there's going to be a change to the medical, where medical marijuana has to be sold in the recreational stores and pursuant to the sort of the regulation of the recreational, mm-hmm. because it has higher regulations with regards to pesticide use. They're eliminated collective gardening, primarily because all of the recreational marijuana goes through testing, has a known quantified amount of THC, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is one thing I don't know if George is doing, but they should make mandatory testing, lab testing, and the THC should be so listed so that everybody that's buying it knows what they're getting. Because, you know, it's easy to say, oh, medical marijuana, but you know, it's really the THC level.
And
terpenes. And if there are some people that can handle a higher quality percentage-wise than others, and I think that's one of the issues that the studies that are done that are against medical marijuana, literally, they're putting the highest level possible in these people and watching them
freak out.
Yeah. And you know, if I wanted to create a study that medical marijuana would basically be proven as a dangerous drug, I'd pump it up with the most I can, you know, and I'd say.
If you do that study, I'll sign up.
I understand.
Now it's
interesting. But understand, I'm an accountant. I'm not a doctor. Yeah.
The lab issue has actually been a good one for us to help get the laws moving forward in the state, even though we don't test here because we don't grow here legally yet. It's something we'd like to do. What the legislators see is a way. For them, their communities, and their families to profit off it. The legislators aren't going to get into marijuana cultivation, but their families, friends, associates, etc., can start up the labs who charge a set amount to test and suddenly have a golden revenue stream coming in. So you start talking in Georgia about the ancillary businesses around reform and change, and that starts sparking ideas.
The company that owns the website that those stickers are from.
The ones that we've been, by the way, reading the great comments
has
from.
Has made $500 million in investments from venture capitalists.
Yeah, there are a lot of VC moving in. I mentioned Sutera here in Georgia. They're working in Florida as well to change the laws. There's some deeper pockets coming in than have been in this fight before.
The wine industry is merging with marijuana as far as they're coming out with a wine now.
Yeah, as I said, I mean, the alcohol industry in many ways can act as a model for how legalized cannabis can be presented, and the alcohol distributors realize that.
Would you guys be in favor of legalization of all drugs? And if not, what's the difference between legalizing marijuana and legalizing other drugs?
Okay, I can tell you this, all right? I know that for the last, I guess for the last 30 years, I have been in some way, shape, or form involved with marijuana, you know, both professionally as well as when I was in college. But I do not have enough knowledge or experience to talk about any other drug, you know. Until I would have to research it and understand it correctly, you know, I mean, the one drug I know is marijuana, you know, that one I feel very confident. I feel totally aligned in supporting it being legalized and being used. But if you came to me and said, well, you know, opium is a better painkiller, you know, you may be right.
But remember that opium, in the form of morphine, is legal.
Right.
You just need a prescription. Regulation has been demonstrated far more effective than illegalization. We've seen the effects of the drug war in all areas. So these are things that need to be addressed on a case-by-case basis, and regulation has proven more effective.
Ecstasy.
You don't have the box.
I'm saying this, I guess, in terms of, yeah, things like ecstasy being...
All right, MDMA, ecstasy.
For PTSD.
Not psilocybin. Ecstasy, which is a chemical. Psilocybin is grown, isn't it?
Yes, Charlie? It's a mushroom.
Okay.
It's a
derivative from the mushroom. Right. All right, but I'm talking about chemically done MDMA, which we call ecstasy or Adam. There are research projects in medical areas right now all over the states, not all over, maybe three places in the states and a couple places in Canada, showing that ecstasy by prescription in a therapeutic setting is an excellent drug. I mean, the kids got a hold of it and destroyed it, you know, with these raves and everything. But MDMA...
they
do
enjoy it. I actually could actually probably...
But I'm talking about therapeutic. Therapeutic, especially for people that have PTSD.
Yeah.
There you can always find a drug and a medical issue. The issue that we're discussing is, can I support another drug not without basically doing my own research? I mean, I'm an adult. But I mean,
always
I do
remember,
my own research.
The drugs that most, you always hear people say, oh, well, give me my weed, but keep that cocaine illegal. Cocaine's legal with a prescription. It's still used in hospitals. Oh, yeah. All of these things that people dislike are legal. Cannabis and...
Cocaine and Tylenol is Schedule 3. Cocaine by itself is Schedule 2.
So you can... The drugs most people say are the bad ones are the legal ones.
Yeah. Are there synthetic versions of marijuana, of cannabis, that are legal?
There's that the people call them that. I'm going to argue about them being actually synthetic cannabis. They use the term synthetic marijuana. It's more a marketing term than a scientific term of any kind. Okay. So.
Okay, who wants the box?
Yeah, who wants the box?
We've got like one or two more questions.
We'll stay late. The next thing is in crystal whatever.
Oh, Scott's not here, so you can get away with saying that.
He's right there.
Hello.
Oh, there he is.
You know, and you don't even have the ability to say.
He's not looking at me. That's okay. The problem. I don't have a drink.
So you mentioned that you've had prior personal experience with marijuana.
It beat him up in an alley once.
Exactly. So going forward, what was your preference? Or thought to be as
my
on
preference
the subject
is Purple Kush. Oh no!
Of
I'm gonna read the card
on whether or not
talk
on whether or not it should be allowed. You know, in the smoking form or the pill or oil. You know, since smoking, inhaling it into your lungs, at least with tobacco, seems a little bit harsh. Would you now prefer, you know, other forms or? Do you think that smoking would be fine?
This is where you get back into the study discrepancy. There are studies saying there is no cancer link to smoking cannabis. And there are studies that throw doubt on that. So, again, we need real good research on the topic at all.
I mean, there have been studies on the most effective use of delivering or utilizing marijuana for certain specific illnesses,
and full plant has been shown to be pretty effective,
right? So
for a lot of it. So.
I mean, if you have a disease that basically it's better to inhale it through as a vapor, I'd say do a vapor. Okay, if you have a disease that says better to basically take it in a form of a pill, I say take a pill. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I don't claim to be. I believe that the medical profession, in their own inimitable way, can figure out what is the best way to take something that can help somebody. Okay? I would support a study of something of that nature. But, you know, to me, I've had clients that literally had to move to California because their state had nothing. And they had tremendous, once they got there and were light and were able to take it, they were able to function like human beings. All right. From my perspective, I have somebody that could that wanted to be a productive human being that couldn't be because of where he lived. He had to move, leave his family, so he could basically be a functioning, productive human being. I appreciate that he's a functioning. I resent that he had to move out of his own state and leave his family because that state refused to do what another state was willing to do.
I think we're on our last question.
Or our last link.
Or maybe our last two questions. I'll sit along until Scott kicks us out of here.
Scott's not kicking us out. I'm telling you, it's Crystal. They're at the Crystal Palace here.
Crystal Palace? Wow. When did you go there?
Yeah, tell me.
Oh, my goodness.
Was it in Disneyland?
No, that was a club. Oh, my God. I'll tell you about the Crystal Palace after this.
Oh, it's a Dixie
Mafia Central.
Okay.
That sounds like a dirty, like...
Back when we had 24-hour clubs, wow. I mean, Backstreet was a high-end club. Any slime was low-end.
Right,
then you had Crystal Palace.
Yes. We've lost you, haven't you? Yeah, train of thought went out the door.
You know. I was just wondering, actually, just because in terms of lobbying, I understand a lot of the money stays in Atlanta. It does. I live in a very rural part of Georgia. And so do you reach out to the farmers down there? And if you do, what is their reaction? Do you discuss with them the economic development to the legislators that do live in that rural area?
No, absolutely. Hemp cultivation has been a major thing that we pushed forward. The ag lobby has not been on the side of change yet, but they're also not opposed to it. Mm-hmm. It is something they're more on a wait and see for. I think hemp cultivation is really where Georgia would shine. I mean, South Georgia's already growing so much weed, it's unbelievable. And for it to be legal down there for people would really change a lot of the communities
you
down there for the better.
You need to hit the plantation owners where we are. You want to talk about deep pockets. That's true.
The problem that you have is that until the federal government, I mean, the thing in California, the farmers in California, they go around and they count. As soon as you hit 100 plants, they just take your entire crop. 99 plants seems to be, 100 seems to be the magic number. Hi, I'm growing 99 plants. Really? I don't see it. Where is it? Can't see it. 100? God, look at all that stuff right there. It's an amazing thing. It's like, it's that magic number. So, I mean, you talk about, I mean, and understand, and he's totally, I mean, I'm a Yankee, right? And so, in my mind, I think of plantations, I think of Gone with the Wind, I think of a lot of acres, all right? And I know how many acres and how many you need for 99 plants. I don't see it, because 99 plants is not that much.
Right.
Yeah, but
I think down where they are, it's not even just so much of that. I think it's a whole generation thing of just kind of wrapping your head around the fact that they don't understand why it's illegal.
Part of the issue we have in South Georgia is the sheriffs that run a lot of those cities for a long time, or a lot of those counties, they're not cities down there, and it's the sheriffs who are distributing the weed and coke and everything else down there and protecting the flights in on private land strips and so on. The sheriffs have been an issue on this all along, and they're going to keep blocking it, the legalization, as long as there's money in their pockets. On the other hand, there are definitely folks down in the rural areas who see the benefits it would bring their community, and reaching out to them is a big important step for reform. So I work with the film industry quite a bit, and there's a big tax credit for the film industry in Georgia, and the reason that it gets support from the rural parts of Georgia is that they film down in the rural parts of Georgia. So for cannabis reform to get a lot of support through Georgia, it needs to show value outside of Atlanta as well, and that's exactly how that's going to happen. Do we have time? You guys tell us how much more time we have.
Oh, really?
I guess we can take one last one, last drag.
He passed it on my left-hand side anyway.
Yeah, he did.
So
you're asking him.
I know there's an argument for safety that goes both ways. Is there an argument forming for just personal freedoms and being able to consume what you want?
Now we're getting into really politics. That's politics down there. I know. I think that this country after 9/11 gave away a lot of its personal freedom. I think that.
Do you think it's starting to come back?
I think that people are starting to try and take it back, but you know, once you give it away, it's hard to take it back. I think that the argument of personal freedom is not going to work. I mean, a perfect example is, do you not have a right, theoretically speaking, as a human being, to die in a manner, shape, or form that you feel meets your needs and your dignity? We can morally and ethically say yes, and we all know legally you can't.
Except in three states.
Except in three states. I got 23 for marijuana. You got 3 for assisted homicide.
I just happen to live in Vermont and Washington, so, you know.
So, I understand. And I'm in New Hampshire also. I understand, you know.
The moral ethical issues brought most of the people to the fight. The changes didn't still start happening until NPA said, hey, it's a medical issue. And now the deeper changes are happening as people see the possibility for profit. Right. It is a standard methodology, and it'll continue here. If at first they're going to ignore you, then they'll make fun of you, then they'll attack you, and then they'll say it was their idea all along. We're at the in the being attacked part. We're no longer being ignored, so that's a good step.
All right. Well, I think that's it for tonight. So thank you.
Thank you all very much.
This year.
Have fun at the Crystal Palace, everybody. Crystal. Okay, so the Dixie Mob.